Do come in, sit down. It's a hot day here in Palestine. Let me get you a cold drink. And please, help yourselves to some dates and olives. I've been so anxious to tell you all about our trip to Jerusalem for Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. It's one of my favourite festivals. Such a happy time. It's a real thanksgiving for the harvest, but also for bringing us, the chosen people, out of Egypt and keeping us safe. This year, I had a comfy bed in my cousin's house, so I didn't have to sleep in our booth or the Sukkot, the little brush houses we make every year. It's a bit uncomfortable in there, really. But it is fun, because we eat in there during the festival. And I love the rituals. The carrying of the lulav, the fragrant palm, myrtle and willow branches that we wave in thankfulness. The sound of the shofar, the ram's horn, which is blown each morning before the morning procession of the priest for the water drawing. Each morning, the priest leads a wonderful musical procession down to the pool of Siloam, where he draws water. He then takes it back to the temple and pours it into a silver bowl by the altar. And the priest calls upon the Lord to provide heavenly water in the form of rain. And he also invites us to look forward to the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. It's a magical way to start the morning, and it happens every day for the 7 days of Sukkot. It will be wonderful, won't it, when the Holy Spirit really is poured down on us all. Then each evening, torches are carried all the way around the temple, illuminating bright candelabra along the walls of the temple to demonstrate that the promised Messiah will be a light to the world. Oh, and there's more music and dancing and, well, I love Sukkot. On our final day in Jerusalem, the day after the Sabbath, we bought some supplies to bring home. We said goodbye to our family and went up to the temple to worship for the last time. But as soon as we got there, we could tell that something had happened. There was a real feeling of excitement and tension in the air. People were standing in groups, talking animatedly and casting sidelong glances at the group of Galileans. They'd been a talking point all through the festivities. Their rabbi, Jesus, had been saying some pretty sensational things. He was obviously very learned, but some of his claims were coming pretty close to being heretical, and the authorities were not happy with him at all. On the final day of Sukkot, during the light ceremony, he had actually said for all to hear, "I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Pretty big claims. Some people are even saying that he is the Messiah, the one we're waiting for. Others say he's demon-possessed. I don't know what to think. Anyway, I went up to my friend Mordecai and asked him what was going on. He said that Jesus had healed a blind man, and on the Sabbath. That was sensational. I looked over, and standing, gazing at a beautiful red hibiscus flower, was a man I'd seen before at the temple gates. I think his name is Matthias. I'd given him alms in the past as he sat blindly begging. Now he reached out and gently touched the flower and looked at it with a face full of amazement. He looked different, but it was definitely him. Mordecai said that the Galileans had been asking Jesus what was the cause of this man's blindness, his or his parents' sin. Jesus had said, neither. And then he'd spat on the ground, made a paste from mud, which he'd rubbed onto Matthias's eyes. And then he told him to go to the pool of Siloam and wash, the same place the priest goes during the morning Sukkot procession. And when he'd come back, he could see. He was no longer blind. It was a miracle. Mordecai's companion, Solomon, chipped in at this point and said that the Pharisees had heard about this and had this morning come to interrogate Matthias and his parents. Matthias had told them simply what had happened, that he had been blind and now he could see. And he'd called Jesus a prophet. The Pharisees weren't happy with that. His parents, understandably, were wary of getting into a fight with the Pharisees. So apart from confirming that Matthias had been blind from birth, they flung up their hands and said they had no knowledge or understanding of what had happened. As we were talking, there was a flurry of activity. And a group of temple officials, Pharisees, came marching across the courtyard towards Matthias. I sidled up over to them to see what I could hear. They confronted Matthias. Give glory to God by telling the truth. We know this man, Jesus, is a sinner. But Matthias stuck to his guns. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. The Pharisees tried to bully him and asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? Well, by this time, Matthias was getting really fed up and he shot back at them. I have told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear again? Do you want to become one of his disciples? Well, the Pharisees were furious and they hurled insults at him. But Matthias came back with impeccable logic. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Well, as you can imagine, that was enough for the Pharisees. They completely lost it and threw him out of the temple. I followed him. I was anxious to talk to Matthias myself. It was amazing. It was a miracle. And what he'd said struck a chord. How could a sinner perform a miracle? It had to be from God. But before I could get to him, the Galileans, headed by Jesus, found him. That Jesus, there was something about him, a gentleness and yet a strength that I can't quite put my finger on. He went up to Matthias and very quietly said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Matthias looked a bit puzzled. Like me, he'd probably heard of the Son of Man in the scriptures of Daniel, the one exalted to a seat alongside God and given the task of bringing God's judgment to the world. But what did he have to do with anything here? Who is he? He asked. Tell me that I may believe in him. And Jesus, smiling, said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking to you. I mean, that was quite something. Was Jesus claiming that he is the Messiah? That he is the one who has come to bring God's judgment? But Matthias appeared to have no doubts. Looking into Jesus' eyes, he quite clearly said, Lord, I believe. And he bowed down there and then and worshipped him. But then Jesus said something strange. For judgment, I have come into this world so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Some of the Pharisees who had come out of the temple heard him say this, and they said, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim that you can see, your guilt remains." The Pharisees were livid, and they stomped off, giving Jesus dirty looks. I looked back at Matthias, who had now stood up, and I got a good look at him. It wasn't just that he could see. His eyes were alive, sparkling. It was as if by going down to the pool of Siloam, he had been baptized, washed clean, and his acknowledgement of Jesus as Lord had set him free from something. The Pharisees, on the other hand, with their black looks and their certainty of their own righteousness, appeared locked and bolted into a darkness of their own devising. And then Jesus turned and he looked straight at me. Oh. It was as if he could see deep into my soul, but with such love and kindness. I've thought long and hard about what I heard and saw that day. It's not every day you see a miracle. And despite what the Pharisees said about it being a sin to heal on a Sabbath, I can't see how the miracle of healing like that can be wrong. It has to come from God. From what Jesus said, neither Matthias nor his parents did anything wrong to cause him to be blind. And Matthias didn't do or say anything especially good to make him deserve to be healed. It was just God working powerfully through him, a demonstration of God's love and grace. I don't profess to understand everything that went on, or really what Jesus said. Who is this man from Nazareth? Is he or is he not God? Is he or is he not Messiah, the Christ? Maybe I'm blind to some things too, but I do know what I saw. It's enough to make me want more. I want some of that love and grace in my life too. Maybe I should be baptized. I've decided. I'm going to find out more. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to listen to his teachings. Maybe then I'll be able to say like Matthias, "I believe." How about you? Will you join me?